news. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, you can follow us no matter where you are. Just go to rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live, and no matter where you is, there we is. That's why we have so many followers that are even outside of the overly broad range of the AM-FM capability here at WVNN. And I love that, man. It's a Right Side Ruffians like in multiple states, so that's very cool. Hey, listen, folks, we're going to switch gears here for a few minutes, all right? So I've spent time, the Triple Dipper for the day, and we've already done two of them. The Triple Dipper for the day is we discussed the border crisis and the fact that Bama's been on the border. We've got a history there. We've also got the fact that military mandates are affecting readiness, and we had a JAG officer call in and give us some thoughts on how that could unpack actually for the actual service members. I'm going to switch gears now and go to number three in the Triple Dipper, and I'm calling in a pinch hitter for me, and that's our own Dale Jackson from right here at WVNN, morning show host extraordinaire, pokes the bear whenever he gets a chance, and is also the program director here at VNN. So, hey, Dale, thanks for calling in, man.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. Let's see, I was on my show, and then I did another show. Then I had a show on this station talk about me. Now I get to be on another show. This is a good day for me.
It's nonstop. It's 24/7 of Dale Jackson. What more could we ask?
Everybody wants.
Well, listen, brother, I want to spend some time getting into the fact that we've got a special session of the legislature coming up. We know for a fact they're going to deal with redistricting, which, to remind the audience, is every 10 years the census comes out and they got to take the numbers and redraw the state house, state senate, state school board, and congressional district lines based on where the populations may have shifted. The crazy thing is right now, nobody in the public has even seen the maps. They're not even going to release those allegedly until maybe the day before the session, but they're heading in. And then the other question is, will they deal with vaccine mandates? So, hey, Dale, let's take the redistricting piece first. You hearing anything? Is there anybody that even cares whether the maps have been put out yet?
Yes, there is. There is specifically, and we've talked about it before, and once again, the name escapes me. Charlotte, what's her name?
Charlotte Meadows.
She's very upset, or was at one point very upset about what was going on with her. And I don't know if they changed that. Apparently, there's four sets of maps. She allegedly got sideways with the teachers' unions and whatnot. So they decided they were going to try to draw her out. That's sort of the allegation there. I haven't really heard anything. State Senator Arthur Orr raised some issues about how Morgan County either wants to be in or out of a district. They don't want to be split up again, like they were before the 2010 redistricting, or the 2000 redistricting, excuse me. Yeah, maybe it was 2000. Yeah, it was 2010. They don't want to be split between 4 and 5 on the congressional side. But those are the only things that I've heard so far. Not too much blood and guts. I think they'll get down there. They'll choose a set of maps. They'll vote on it. You know this as well as I do. They'll be approved. Then somebody will sue. They'll judge shop it. They'll get some sort of order struck down. Go down there and draw some more of these districts our way. And then another judge will come in and be like, what are you doing? This isn't the judge's role. Leave us alone.
It's true.
That's a pretty fair look at what could probably happen here.
But what's interesting, though, is, and I was in a lot of the meetings. So back, you're right. So when I was in the legislature, we got elected in 2010. The 2010 census came out, and in 2011, we had to redraw the lines. And when we did, I went from a 3-county state senate district to a 4-county state senate district. And then, you're right, the lawsuit happened. The lawsuit came back with a requirement to change one portion, but you can't change one portion. It's like dominoes. If you change one, it has cascading effects upon a bunch of others. And so I think that was a part of the Jefferson County area had to be redrawn in accordance with the judge's orders. And then when that happened, though, it caused, you know, these cascading shifts. I wound up with more of another county than had originally been planned. It morphs. But in this particular case, the thing that bugs me, Dale, is the general public is supposed to be able to see these. And you're right, by the way, Charlotte, I have seen Charlotte's, I saw a proposed, I got a secret leaked copy of Charlotte Meadows' Representative Meadows' proposed district, and it was a massive redraw of her district, and it would have made it a far more Democrat-leaning district, which you look at it and go, what in God's name are y'all doing? Well, it's got to be a throwing a bone to the teachers' union. But the general public hadn't seen squat. And I don't know if the general public even really cares or knows to care, but there's going to be people that think they're with State Senator so-and-so. They're going to wake up the next morning and they're with another state senator who they've never met before.
That happens. That's a question. It happens.
It does.
And I think people are kind of concerned about that, but not enough people to where they're concerned about people being concerned about it.
Which is all the more reason why Senator Jim McClendon, who's in charge of the Senate side of reapportionment, doesn't mind saying in public, we'll have those maps ready for you the day before session. If you're going to say it out loud,
yeah.
You're either ignorant or you don't care. I think they don't care. But it's a crying shame. But so that's going to happen here very soon. But here's the other piece of this is there's a lot of, and I would call it clamor. I mean, it's not like it's been a major grassroots campaign, but there's more buzz than usual about, hey, are you going to have something about vaccine mandates in the call for special session? And we're getting crickets right now out of the, press release side of Montgomery. I'm hearing undercurrents that there may actually be something, but no one wants to talk about it out loud yet. What are you hearing?
I keep hearing the same thing, that there is a possibility there. I've been saying on my show now, I will not vote for Kay Ivey if she does not either do an executive order or put it in the call. Those are the other, I just won't vote for it. Now, does she care? No. But, I'm not going to take some pretend stand that I'm going to do something that I know I'm not going to do. But, that's my position, that Kay Ivey has to protect these people who have been essential workers. And it looks like she might be prepared to do that. But I just don't know because nobody's talking about it. You've heard Senator Orr publicly call for it on WVNN.
Yep.
You've heard others talk about how they want to vote on it. But you know what? It is kind of easy here. If I'm Kay Ivey, I'm in a no-win situation. Because either I do it myself and people get mad at me, or I allow other people to do it and people get mad at me, or I do nothing and people get mad at me. Members of the legislature, I think a lot of them would rather she just do it and take it off the table. But I think there's also a big group of them like, I want to vote on that. Let's put that out there. Let's vote on that.
It's low-hanging fruit. It's red meat. It's all the other edible analogies I can come up with. It's the reality is, why would they not? I mean, I'm looking at this. This is extremely popular with a red state, and that's what we majority are. And if they don't like it, vote no. If they think their constituents don't want it, vote no. But what bugs me, and this is like we saw this last year too, Dale, during all the COVID shutdowns and the Senate and the House couldn't come in and yada yada, and they were deferring to the governor because we can't come in on our own. No, you can't. You can go out and do a press conference. There's no reason why you can't make a clamor on your social media. There's no reason why you can't hold a town hall and scream at the top of your lungs. And we're hearing boo out of this. It's like no one wants to deal with it. And yet here we are in a red state where they could do this and everybody would go, yep, that's who we are. But they're not going down that road, even in terms of their public statements. And I find that to be as disconcerting as the fact that it's not in the call yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is, like you said, it's a slam dunk. I mean, it truly is a slam dunk. Get in there and fight the fight. I mean, it's a no-lose situation. It's really a no-lose situation for them. You cannot lose.
Yeah, and I think too, just speaking, putting aside for a minute the fact that it's red meat for election season, I think it just needs to be done. Period. There's multiple other states that have already called themselves into special session to deal with this very issue, and then you've got neighboring states like Tennessee and Florida that are dealing with the issue. You've got Texas dealing with the issue, and so the idea that we wouldn't begins to almost set us apart from other so-called conservative states. And that's a crying shame if we're going to distance ourselves from our conservative, state partners in fighting the fight.
Yeah, I agree completely. I absolutely agree. I cannot grasp how this has come to the position it's at right now, where it just seems like it's something they could totally get in front of and be a part of and instead have decided that they're just not interested in doing it. I don't get it.
And Dale, we're going to move to a break here, but when we come back, if you don't mind, if you can hang on through the break, brother. We're going to just talk about, you may have seen it this morning, Alabama Daily News, Mary Sell wrote an article about House Bill 31 being floated out there and the fact that business groups are already lining up against the possibility of a bill like this. We'll see. I'll get your feedback on that in a minute. All right, folks. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio with my brethren Dale Jackson. We'll be right back. Phones with my brethren, Dale Jackson, our morning show host and program director here at WVNN. So, hey, Dale, listen, here's the deal. There's a story out on Alabama Daily News, which I think explains a lot. You've got right now, let's see, who are the groups? You've got Business Council of Alabama, the Alabama Farmers Federation, the Association of Realtors, the Retail Association, the Trucking Association, the NFIB, which is small business, the Manufacturer Alabama Group, and the Alabama Road Builders have all combined their efforts to say, please don't pass anything that says that employees can sue an employer if they are forced to get a vaccine. I think that's the genesis of why we haven't seen anything yet. They're trying to walk that fine line.
Oh, yeah. They're trying to make it to where they get all the protection and none of the risk. I mean, that's...
It's exactly
it's
right.
It's amazing. It is amazing how brazen all of this is, and I can't believe it.
Well, in the Alabama Policy Institute, we supported a bill that was passed in the last session that does say that a frivolous lawsuit cannot be brought. We raised the standard of evidence to what they call clear and convincing evidence, which means you can't bring a frivolous suit. You better know how to prove that you have suffered COVID issues because of that business.
And everyone supports that I know.
Yeah, absolutely. But in this case, it's different, in my opinion. It's a employer in the absence of a true mandate. And by the way, we don't really have a true mandate yet. They haven't even figured it out in D.C. yet. So absent a federal employee or a contractor, if you got just like, you know, Joe Schmo that owns a pool company or a plumbing company, he decides he wants to mandate his employees, that's different. There is nothing out there that says he has to. And you're forcing someone to do something that could be in violation of their religious rights or anything else for that matter.
It's absolutely absurd that this continues to be a topic of conversation, especially in the state of Alabama. And it's frustrating. Everyone should be frustrated by this.
Well, and I had State Senator Clay Schofield on the other day. He's the majority leader, you know, up in the state Senate. And I pressed him on it. And he's a friend, but I felt like I had to press. And I said, listen, man, everybody wants this. You'll be a hero. All of the conservative groups in this state, to include the Policy Institute, this radio show, a lot of other radio shows like Dale's, we're going to wind up supporting you if you go forward on something like this. Why would there be a hesitancy? And, in his words, I was preaching to the choir with him, but he said there's ongoing discussions right now, which actually this letter from Daily News says at the very end that Gina Maiola, who's the new spokesperson or communications director for the governor, says, there are discussions with legislative leadership that are ongoing to determine what else might be included in the call. Hint, hint, wink, wink. I don't know.
Good. I'm glad they're still having the conversation, but you know, I mean, it's time. I mean, we've waited too long for this. This is
pull the trigger.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's lay it out there then. Put on the table. What do you think? What are the odds? Are they going to have a bill, or aren't they going to have a bill that deals with vaccine mandates?
I think that it is leaning towards no, but I'm not ruling it out because the conversation is still happening. Scott Harris came out the other day and said, you know, oh, I wouldn't be in favor of it, and then said a bunch of other nonsense about how, well, you know, you got to understand, we don't want to make it harder to get the vaccine, which makes no sense. And you know, so I just wonder who she's listening to. Is she listening to the voters, or is she listening to Scott Harris, or is she listening to the big business people? Maybe we all should, like I said before, maybe we should all just incorporate ourselves, and then maybe we can have a say in what's going on in our state government.
Or at least form a very large PAC that supports groups or candidates when they run for office.
Yeah.
Because that's in truth.
Because voting for these people isn't enough, apparently.
No. But I guarantee you, if a grassroots effort really kicks in and people start calling their legislator and saying, what in God's name are you doing? Ask for the bill and tell me, by the way, on your Facebook page what you're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's my understanding that that bubbling anger is already kind of there, so it's out there. The question is there enough to overcome that the governor is just kind of indifferent to the whole thing? And I mean, if she's not indifferent to the whole thing, she sure seems like she's indifferent to the whole thing.
Yeah, that's the way I see it. I see a lack of political will. I will say this. My prediction is they're going to wind up doing something, although it won't be as much as it could have been. I think they're going to wind up creating something that says, just don't do it, you know, or allow there to be exemptions. You know, the Attorney General came out the other day and urged them to please pass something that would allow for religious exemptions, or he actually worded it as conscientious objections, I believe he said, which is basically an everybody out who wants to be out.
Yeah, and you know what? That right there is a read on how he views it, how popular it is amongst normal, everyday voting human beings.
Yep.
Not absolutely. To say he doesn't feel that way on his own, but the fact that he's issuing that statement leads me to believe that he views it that way politically too.
I totally agree. And by the way, it's an election year for him too, but yep. Still, I think he would do it regardless. All right, brother. Well, we're down to it, man. I'm going to wind it up here, but thanks for your time today. We appreciate you as always, and I'll probably holler at you later on this afternoon.
That works for me. See you then.
All right, Dale Jackson, our very own Dale Jackson, the man who can poke the bear and draw the ire of many and still be much loved. But that's Dale Jackson, the morning show host here on WVNN, and also our program director. So, folks, here's the deal. I'm going to open the phone lines up here in just a minute. We're going to take a break, so don't call yet. But in a few minutes, the phone lines are going to be open, 866-494-9866. I got to know, what do you think? What do you think? Do you want your legislature, your state legislature, to issue something, some bill in the special session that deals with vaccine mandates? I want to hear your thoughts on it. What do you think about it? I also want to know what your thoughts are about the military mandates. Call in on that. And then if you want to talk about the clip that I played earlier with the rancher and his wife talking about what they're dealing with on the southern border, I've already had emails and text messages about it and responded to some of those already. Listen, call in 866-494-9866. It has been some more kind of a full show. All right, Copper, we are going to open those phone lines. So get your phone answering hand ready, my friend. Let's see if we get some calls in on it. 866-494-9866. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Be right back.